Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
Good morning, everyone. Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast, Bryce Diamond, talking hoops on a Friday morning. Lots to talk about as usual in the association. This time, however, we're getting a little bit political. We're getting a little bit picky about certain stances and policies. So if you're not for discussions that affect the league, affect the players, if you're not for kind of political discourse, again, within the NBA, this recording, this episode, I should say, is not for you. And that's okay. You're allowed to let the news be the news. You're allowed to, think about just basketball when you hop on the pod. But today, I felt it was important for me to talk specifically about some of the NBA policies and politics over the last week or two. Because they affect the players and they affect the fans. Listen, the world is not always a kind place. And this past week, I guess, there has been some really difficult things to have to absorb, metabolize, and most of us haven't. Let's be honest. We'll start in the Middle East. And listen, this is not about choosing sides for Jurassic Views or for me as an individual. I won't speak for Zaya or Courtney. This is about human decency. And this is about respecting the lives, literal lives of people, specifically women and children, specifically civilians. This week in my feed, after the Israel military and Hamas military fired back shots, rockets, guns, missiles, the NBA, again, this is an NBA podcast. This is a Raptors podcast. The NBA released some statements. The Toronto Raptors released some statements. And even players like LeBron James issued some statements. And that's what I really want to talk about on this pod. The military group known as Hamas, who is voted in as the political arm within Palestine in 2007, has continued their power, continued to, as I said, have a military presence, have a military response, and that group is also known as Hamas, so both political and military. Known as Hamas, they did a strike, a number of strikes on both military buildings and on civilians. And it was ugly. It was gross. In the meantime, Israel responded, the military and the political party who leads in Israel, who is elected with Prime Minister Netanyahu. They responded to what Hamas's military arm did, the attack. And that was ugly. And that affected Palestinians' lives. That affected people who are living in the Gaza Strip specifically. And then later, about 24 hours, 36 hours after this back and forth between Hamas in Gaza, Hamas military group in Gaza, and the Israeli military went back and forth. Then Hezbollah, which is the military arm of the Lebanese government, also fired upon Israel in the north, close to Tel Aviv. Their attacks also seem to be mostly targeted on military-operated areas, but definitely affected, impacted, and killed civilians. War sucks. War is terrible. It is not something that really I would ever condone. There would have to be some serious circumstances as to why I believe that war is the answer. Defending yourself individually as a nation, okay, we can talk about that. But war in general, conflict getting to a point where two groups are using violence is not something I would condone. It's very rare. You know, there's conversations around just war. But what is happening in the Middle East is pretty despicable on certain levels. And certainly when it impacts civilians, when civilians are targeted, these are not military people. These are not military buildings. When people are targeted, innocent civilians are targeted, men, women specifically, children as well. This is as gross, as despicable as humanity can get. And this week, the NBA, even the Toronto Raptors, and LeBron James all gave statements about what was happening in the Middle East, in Israel, in the Gaza Strip, in the West Bank. And for whatever reason, we can probably think about what those reasons are. The NBA, LeBron James, talked about peace in Israel. Even the Canadian government denounced the actions of heinous crimes against humanity that were happening in Israel. LeBron James, Toronto Raptors, and the NBA never called out the Israeli military. Never backed the Palestinian people. Listen, people, humanity should be cherished, especially those who are civilians. And when you pick a side, as the NBA did, whether it was vague or not, as LeBron and the Raptors did, whether it was vague or not, when you pick a side, just as the Canadian government did, to me, that's a problem. And the reason why is because even if it's vague, there's messaging that you're sending out. And let's be honest, the United States of America, Britain as a whole, has political and economic interests in not supporting, in not highlighting the Palestinian people, and to focus on Israeli citizens who are part of the nation state of Israel. And it sucks. It really, really does. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who we have done an episode on during a Black History Month episode, came out in a statement after the NBA had made their statement, basically supporting Israel in a vague way, but not supporting, not recognizing the humanity or the nation state that is the Palestinian people, that is Palestine. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf asked in his statement, "Where are you Muslim NBA players? Where is the Muslim Brotherhood within the NBA?" Players who care about people in Palestine, where are you? And that's the biggest issue that I take, that I fully support and get behind Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. Muslim people are people. They should be protected. The innocent should be protected. Children, mothers, women should be protected. Where are those statements from the Raptors? Specific statements to have solidarity with the Palestinian people. Where are those statements from LeBron James? Listen, LeBron, just like Adam Silver and Masai Ujiri, none of them are perfect people. But when you get caught up in politics and your statements are political, even if they're vague, you go against humanity. When you choose a side like that, you go against humanity. And in this case, the humanity of the Palestinian people. I don't know where you stand. I don't know where Zion Courtney stand. This morning, I want to say that the life of Palestinians is to be valued and cherished. And what is happening in the Gaza Strip, that is by the Israeli military, is inhumane. And I would go so far as to say evil, because I've seen it targeted. It doesn't condone for one second what the Hamas military has done to innocent Israeli people. It does not. We've been down these roads as an NBA fan base. We've been down these roads. Black Lives Matter, right? Like, there's a whole movement. There's a whole conversation. And we continue to support that statement strongly now as we did when the bubble happened and when the Black Lives Matter movement grew from its birthplace almost a decade ago. But I'm going to also say on this pod today that Palestinian lives matter. And they should be cherished and valued. And we need to say that as an NBA community. And the NBA and MLSE and the Toronto Raptors need to say that. It matters to the fan base that you stood behind in London when people, innocent people, were targeted by a killer. You need to do that now as well in this conflict. Otherwise, your messaging, your politics devalue, dehumanize. Unfortunately, that was not the only statement the NBA made in the last week or two. The NBA, through its vice president of basketball, player or basketball operations, I don't know if I got that title exactly correct, but Joe Dumars, came out with a statement on behalf of the NBA after they had released a statement that was kind of done by the association, probably in part in partnership with the owners, but they made that statement as a league about the policy for players having to play. And they laid out what that policy looked like in terms of all-stars and players in general missing games. But Joe Dumars this week was in a press conference to kind of follow up that policy. And it's basically the anti-load management policy. That's how it's being talked about. And there have been a lot of statements that have been made kind of on both sides of this argument. And listen, I understand a fan's perspective. I think we've talked about this on the pod before, to some extent. I understand the league. I understand the business side of this conversation. When players play, ticket sales go up. When players play, especially the all-stars, especially the superstars, the Steph Currys, the Giannis Antetokounmpos, the LeBrons, etc. When they play, ticket sales that week, that day, depending when the player or the team announces that their player will play or won't play, ticket sales are greatly impacted. I think it's 70%. The price of a ticket can go up or down based on whether that superstar or that all-star is playing. We know very well in Toronto what load management was about. And Kawhi made a statement about his time specifically in Toronto when this load management phrase or term came out quite strongly. And then you saw a greater movement or greater conversation using that phrase in the years after 2018-2019 season with Kawhi Leonard. But listen, Greg Popovich has been doing quote-unquote load management for years. The Miami Heat, when LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh were there, have been doing load management. Maybe they didn't call it that. Maybe they said there was an injury. And maybe there was and maybe there wasn't. Maybe the athlete was recovering from an injury. Maybe there was prior history to a major injury that had occurred in an athlete. All these things were done with the help, with the expertise of the medical community, specifically the doctors who work with the players, who are paid by the teams, by the franchises. But the league, through Joe Dumars, had a press conference about this. And they said, Joe Dumars even said, they have data to back up why players don't get injured based on the number of games that they play. Now, to some extent, this is true. Injuries happen. There are flukes. There are accidents that occur. I remember Jeremy Lin. I remember Kevin Love. I remember even last year, Chet Holmgren. Athletes get hurt. Jamal Murray. Athletes get hurt. And sometimes it is just pure accidental, pure happenstance. A guy goes up, he lands the wrong way. He could land on his teammate. He could land on the floor awkwardly because of the way he just, you know, went to the basket. Hell, he might even be making a cut without the ball, without contact, and something happens, and there goes an ACL, or there goes an MCL, or there goes the Achilles. I get that. So playing a certain number of games doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be injured more or less. To some extent, there's some truth to that. But let's take, since I've named Jamal Murray, let's take for a second Jamal Murray's case. This summer, Jamal Murray had just come off playing a long season, an extended season with the Denver Nuggets. Why? Because Jamal Murray won the NBA championship. Jamal Murray's team, in order to win that championship, needed at least 16 wins. They also lost once to Miami. That's the 17th game. Two games to Phoenix. And one game to the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's three more games. That's now 20 games. Remember, they swept the Lakers. We're not going to get into that too much. I don't want to pull a Mike Malone during the parade in this moment. But Jamal Murray played 20 extra games in order to win the NBA championship with his team, the Denver Nuggets. He also played 2 months longer than other guys who had not made the playoffs. And then you have situations like Damian Lillard, who didn't even play in the final, 20 games of the regular season? And the reason why Damian Lillard did that, or the Portland Trailblazers did that, was one, they didn't want him to be injured. They didn't want the chance. If you play, there is a chance you will get injured. But in the case of Jamal Murray, he finishes the playoffs. He wins the championship. He plays an extra 20 games. His season goes 2 months longer. And when he wants to play for his nation, doctors of the Canadian national team, I'm sure doctors from the Denver Nuggets said, Jamal, this is not a good idea. The risk was too great. And as much as he wanted to play, as much as he wanted to help his team win a medal at the World Cup or qualify for the Olympics, and believe me, with Jamal Murray, it would have been a lot easier to qualify for the Olympics. They would not have lost to Brazil. And they would have easily cruised to the quarterfinals, clinching a spot for the Olympics. They may have also won the bronze medal. They may have beaten Serbia with Jamal Murray. And knowing the competitor that Jamal Murray is, knowing how much he loves the country he was born in, he said no, along with the medical staff. Here's my question. Did Joe Dumars talk to doctors when he made his statement? Did he talk to medical professionals who work with athletes and who work primarily for teams in the NBA? My guess is it was either limited conversations or the data that he wanted to focus on focused on more the fluke, more the happenstance of things than it did medical advice based on a number of variables and factors. Remember, Jamal Murray had an ACL injury. Wasn't that Jamal Murray was injured in 2022 or 2023? Jamal Murray was injured terribly in 2021. And even though he's in his mid-20s, and even though that injury happened more than 2 years before his opportunity to play in the FIBA World Cup, the medical staff said, you've already put your body in a very stressful, extended period. And on top of that, your body has muscle memory. Your body has scar tissue that exists that if you continue to put stress on it without the necessary rest and recovery time, there is an increased chance that you will be injured, that you might suffer setbacks. You need the rest, you need to recover from this season, especially when you've had a major injury. Here's the sweetest part about Joe Dumars making these statements. Joe Dumars played in the NBA for 14 seasons. I believe he was drafted in 1985 and he retired in 1999. He retired after a shortened strike season. In the final six seasons of Joe Dumars' career, Joe Dumars played an average of 72 games. The equivalent of 72 games, I should say, because in that final 99 season, there was only 45 games. Joe Dumars once played 79 games in the final 6 years of his career. He played 72 games once. Joe Dumars played the equivalent of 69 games in three of the final 6 years and played 67 games in one of those years. The final six seasons of his career, he plays 67, 69, 69, 69, 72, 79 games. Joe Dumars, when he did that, was age 30 to 35. So here's a guy who's representing the league, is well aware, even in his press conference, well aware that he's representing the NBA as a business and is aware that they need to make money because that's what a business does. And they don't just want to make a little bit of money. To be the best league in the world, to be able to pay their players the most by a long shot, more than any other league in the world, they have to keep making money. And part of the statements, part of how they're looking at the data is including how they make the most money. And yet, when Joe Dumars was a player, he plays the equivalent to 72 games in his final six seasons. That's 10 games off. You know how many back-to-backs the Raptors play this coming season? 13. The average in the league is about 12. Some teams play 14, some teams play 13, 12, and 11. But it's roughly 12 games is the average. Raptors play 13. Joe Dumars, for the last six seasons of his career, basically took off the back-to-backs. Yeah, I'm sure there might have been injuries there. Joe Dumars' minutes per game also goes down pretty dramatically. 3, 5, 7 minutes, 8 minutes from where it was at his peak. In his final season, when he's 35 years old, playing in a shortened strike season, I think he plays 29 minutes. That's opposed to his career high of just over 40 minutes a game. If Joe Dumars is seriously going to look the fans in the eye, and more importantly, look the players in the eye and say, hey, you can't miss games, and have integrity, the man is a fool. When he makes statements like this, defending the NBA's position, knowing full well that their position is emphasized, their policies that they've created are emphasized because of the money, the dollar that they can make. And believe me, at this stage, it's greed that the league is hammering down that players have to play as many games as possible. No excuses, unless there's some sort of, you know, specific evidence-based injury that a player has had. If Joe Dumars is going to make statements like this, it's honestly starting to impact his legacy, in my opinion. Back-to-backs, as we have said on the pod, are ridiculous. They happen in hockey. They happen in basketball. Pitchers in baseball wait 4 to 7 days before they pitch again, unless it's the playoffs, in which they might pitch with a 3-day rest. They might. But oftentimes, even in the playoffs, they wait 4. Football has usually a full week. Soccer has 3 to sometimes 10 days of rest, depending on the time of year. The German league takes off 2 or 3 weeks at Christmas time. Back-to-backs in the NBA, I would go so far as to say they're barbaric. Especially if you want the stars to play both games. Think of it. Let's say you're Golden State. You've flown to New York City. Because you're on the other side of the country, it makes sense that you would play the Knicks one night, and then another night you'd play the Nets. And oftentimes, for the NBA schedule, they try to get a team like Golden State to play back-to-back. In the biggest market in North America, New York City, if you force Steph Curry, who's what, 36 years old, to play back-to-backs, LeBron James, who's going to be 39 in December, you're going to have him play a back-to-back? The man is almost 40. He's playing in his 21st year as an NBA player. And you're going to ask him to play back-to-back, or you're going to penalize him or the team because he wants a rest day to play against Brooklyn and New York? Give me a break. If you, NBA, just stopped and thought, how could we either eliminate 10 to 12 games of the season, or you said there will not be any more back-to-backs and we will extend the season by a month. Now you have some credibility. Now players are not going to miss 10 to 20 games who are superstars, who are in their 30s. They're going to maybe miss 4 or 5. And there might be some legitimate reasons as to why they miss more, but they're probably a lot less likely to, quote unquote, load manage. And again, Joe Dumars, you're probably not listening to this, but if you are, look in the mirror, my friend. Look in the mirror, and after you look at how many games you played in your final 6 seasons, and tell me what the policy should be. All right, y'all, I've ranted enough. We'll see how many of you actually get past the first 2 minutes of this. But for me, human lives matter. The players are always first. Lives of innocent people matter. And they should be cherished. The league, individual players, franchises should always respect the humanity of somebody. Cherish it. And I hope you do too. Peace. I don't do dreaming, boy. I'm on your fashion. I'm arts. So give my arts.